recent survey found more than 100,000 Alcoholics Anonymous groups worldwide. Millions of people battling the bottle have found help through this quiet organization, which is free of charge and open to anyone. And the power of AA meetings, where members find the courage to open up to each other, derives from a basic respect. Everyone has suffered, everyone has made wrong turns, and everyone possesses remarkable inner strengths to be uncovered. Here's Mike, a 27-year-old who works in the software industry.
It certainly was a tumultuous early childhood. You know, my parents had me when they were young. You know, my earliest memories were ones of, you know, kind of instability, uncertainty, you know, mistrust. And I think, you know, to a certain extent that shaped kind of the way I saw the world, you know, as I grew older.
Mike was born in the former Soviet Union and moved as a child to the United States. In the early years, his family traveled around a lot. They were learning a new language, trying to assimilate. He has now lived many years in the Boston area.
I always felt I had something to prove. Again, for whatever reason, internally, I had this thing that, you know, I can't feel, you know, on equal footing with people. I either feel less than, you know, or I have to feel twice as good as you. You know, my sneakers have to be twice as expensive and that sort of thing. And I think largely it had to do with, you know, with ego and a lack of humility. And I don't know, you know, it's this chicken or the egg. I think there are certain things within me that existed long before, you know, addiction came into my life. And one of the characteristics was this inability to be satiated. And really the other one was inability to delay instant gratification, even when it's in my own best interest.
It's not hard to fall into this trap, especially in a society where patience and calm reflection are seldom encouraged, while seductive advertising glamorizes immediate pleasure and satisfaction. But addictive behavior is complex, related both to a person's internal psychological makeup and the social influences around them. People get into trouble with alcohol and other drugs for different reasons and in many ways. Here's the story of an educator who grew up in the Boston area. Half a life ago, at age 30, she got sober in AA. We'll call her Lauren.
I think when I was really little, I was pretty happy. But after a fairly short while, I started having a sense that something was wrong. I later discovered that there were problems in the family that nobody talked about because partly of the time when all of this was happening and partly because of the culture of my family. But, you know, for a little kid, if something's wrong, it can't possibly be people like your parents because you need them. So it pretty quickly turns to the assumption that it's you. So I, thinking way back, don't remember much of my life when I was little where I didn't think something was wrong with me. So a lot of that feeling led to both fear, being frightened that somehow if people really knew who I was, they wouldn't want to be around me because there was this wrong thing about me. And so I sought all kinds of ways to hide. And I hid in books. I, pretty young, started hiding in food. I hid in taking things as though somehow there would be some way of easing this feeling.
From an early age, I'm zero to smitten in 3.2 seconds with everything. It was, you know, pedal to the metal with anything I do. You know, I picked up the piano at 5. I haven't put it down, you know. I picked up a skateboard, still do that. Guitar, you know, I picked up substances and, you know, you almost have to pry it out of my cold, dead fingers, you know. I just stick with things, you know. But I was very adept at living a double life, you know. So through college, you know, full-blown addiction, you know, was already there. And this was the explosion of, you know, Oxycontin and Percocets, which, you know, I was always recreational with, but then it stepped up, you know, in college. And a lot of my friends who ultimately, you know, got swept up with it as well. And it hit the middle class much harder, you know, than the previous, you know, the heroines. And, the tragedy of it all was it was ultimately a bridge to, you know, the heroin and the other things. Addiction for me, it's the same whether I gamble my money away or, you know, promiscuity or drugs, alcohol, all of that ultimately leaves me empty spiritually.
I'm prone to say that my drug of choice is more. And it doesn't really matter what, because I really believe I can become addicted to pretty much anything. I define myself as an alcoholic because although alcohol was by no means the only substance I abused, when I drank to get drunk. And the very first time I drank, I was very clear. I'd had disappointing news about something, and I remember very vividly thinking, oh, well, a good way of responding to that would be to go get drunk. And I'm not sure I'd ever really drunk much of anything before that, but I went home. It was later at night. I was, you know, I was still in college, but it was the summer. And I went home, and I went into my parents' liquor cabinet and drank a little bit of everything. And after that, I was never, ever, ever able to drink gin again because it just was the one taste that lingered. But I just remember sort of staggering upstairs and flopping on the bed and passing out. Now, I don't think most people, the first time they have a drink, do so with the explicit intention of getting as drunk as they can. And I told myself, well, I'll never do that again. Didn't exactly happen that way.